In 1985, you would have found bass guitarist Kip Winger performing as a member of the rock group Alice Cooper. 2 years later, he formed his own metal rock band, which he called Winger, that name at Alice Cooper's suggestion. The advent of grunge music in the early 1990s immediately undermined Winger's style of music. Overnight, he was a man without a recording contract and seemingly a man without a future in pop music. He must have been asking himself, is it really easy come, easy go?
So 1991, and in comes grunge music. And my band, Winger, if you look at it historically, we kind of rode the very end of the tide of glam metal, is what they would call it, I guess. Bon Jovi and Def Leppard, these guys were the guys that were riding high on the tide. I was in Alice Cooper during that time playing bass, and I was watching bands open for us, and I was thinking, wow, I grew up doing this. I could do this, man. Let's put a band together. And so I put a band together with Reb, and we just came too late. And we rode the tide into the sand, basically, and then in comes grunge music with Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all of this, and it was an unstoppable force like a hurricane. On top of that, this very famous cartoon, Beavis and Butthead, had a character in it who represented everything that sucked, and they had my name on the t-shirt. So, you know, it was overnight, it was like I was banned from radio and, you know, lost my record deal and, you know, all this kind of thing. And it was brutal. I mean, it was very difficult at the time to be selling 30,000, 40,000 records a week on Atlantic Records and touring. We were headlining at that time, and, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 people, and then all of a sudden be gone overnight, not being able to really even get a gig. We did the third tour pull. We went from doing small arenas to clubs overnight.
Whether or not you know the name Kip Winger will depend greatly on how broad your interest in music is. If you are like me, you listen to many different genres of music, though in all likelihood it is mostly classical. However, I know many of you also listen to jazz, and maybe even to a bit of Willie Nelson or Sleep at the Wheel when you feel the need to break into a two-step. If your range also includes rock music, you may already know of Kip Winger. As Kip was just saying, he broke into the business as the bass guitarist for Alice Cooper and then went on to form his own band called Winger. But from an early age, well before Alice Cooper, Kip was exposed firsthand to a great deal of music, including jazz and classical. Kip, I think I read somewhere that both your parents were professional jazz musicians. Is this how you began listening to music, just hearing them playing around the house?
It was. Even more particularly, they would take us to gigs when they couldn't find a sitter. So I remember being in the dressing room of some smoky jazz clubs when I was very young. You know, music, as far as I can remember, was the theme of the household. And then very early on, my brothers and I put a band together, and my mom would help us figure stuff out off the record by ear, and was always very supportive.
I'm wondering if listening to jazz at home or when you would tag along to your parents' gigs, if the jazz harmonies influenced the way you wanted to play and eventually write music.
It's very interesting that you say that, and the answer is yes, but I wasn't able to use those influences until I started working with orchestral music. And I never was a big jazz fan. Like, I couldn't point to a jazz album that I would say, oh, that's one of my favorite albums. But, you know, I'm not an improvising type. Everything has to be very well organized and in its place. And, you know, that's the common thread between heavy metal music and orchestra music. It's very orchestrated. There's very little jamming, very little improv, except for the guitar solo. So I was never totally into jazz, but when I've noticed when I'm doing orchestral writing, the jazz harmony that I grew up listening to is so influencing my classical music, that it's kind of amazing.
You know, so I like, you know, the modern day arrangers like Vince Mendoza are really guys that I look to as, you know, using that genre very well and skillfully with the harmonies. And I do listen to that a lot, and it definitely influences my orchestra writing.
When did it occur to you that maybe you might want to grow up to be a professional musician like your parents?
Okay, so the way it happened was my parents brought home a drum set and a guitar for my older brothers and they thought I was maybe too young to know what I wanted to play. But obviously when you bring home a drum set and a guitar and there's one other guy, you know, the common denominator is bass, but I wanted to play bass. So they got a little bass and we started playing as a three piece, eventually a four piece with another kid from the neighborhood. And from 7 years old, I knew that that was it for me. The only thing I'd done before that was the Yamaha piano method at 6 years old, where you sit in a class and they teach you, you know, very basic piano skills. But other than that, I picked up a bass at seven, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Here's something that might surprise your fans. When you were young, it wasn't just rock and roll that piqued your interest. You also signed up for ballet lessons, and not just signed up, but you danced for a while with the Denver Ballet. Is this your parents deciding you ought to take dance?
My older brother Nate and I were big into this martial arts form called Kajukenbo, which was a hybrid form of kung fu and karate. So I was fairly stretched out, and it wasn't a dare, but my girlfriend at the time said, man, I'd really like to take ballet, and I've asked all my girlfriends to do it with me, and nobody will. And I thought, hey, I'll do it. That sounds fun. You know, let's try something different. So we took a class on, it was down on Broadway in downtown Denver, just a ballet studio. We walked in to check it out to see if that was a place we might want to go. And I remember listening to the music that was coming out of the studio and thinking, wow, I'm automatically drawn in, because it was some Tchaikovsky piano music or something. Now, this is very critical because, you know, Bruce Lee could hold his leg up over his head. So we really was into karate. And I saw these ballet dancers holding their legs up over their head in person. So I was thinking, oh, my God, they're holding their leg over their head like Bruce Lee. This is amazing. And the music was coming at me, and I thought, yeah, let's do this. So we took a class, and I totally took to it like a duck to water. It was, it fit my body perfectly. It was very musical and extraordinarily challenging. And I just liked the environment. And it was, you know, like I say, I took to it like a duck to water.